back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
I'm excited. This is year four. This is the actual 32 Fans in 32 Days. All the rest of the podcast stuff is just nonsense that we like.
Yeah.
Spend the
all
rest
summer
of the
long,
year
it was nonsense.
Milking. Yeah.
Desperately trying to find content. It's too bad that Trump and LeBron didn't get into a fight in like May when we had nothing else to talk about.
True. But I will say the nonsense is much more popular than this stuff.
Yeah.
Infinitely more popular. This is an episode, I've never looked at like listener rankings, but I feel like there's a big drop. There are people that only listen to football stuff, but there's also a big group of people that only listen when we don't talk about football.
Yeah, so I have a proposal. The way to draw people in is let's start the 2018 edition of 32 Fans in 32 Days with the most exciting, most talked about franchise in the NFL.
A team with tons of turnover, I guess. Is that what you're saying? And like,
a team that always is bringing in a new coach, a new quarterback. Yeah. A team that's always, you know, competing into the late rounds of the playoffs. We're speaking, of course, about the Cincinnati Bengals.
I didn't really think about that in terms of like ratings. We're bad producers of this show.
Is a method to our madness. So we've decided, you know, last year it was completely haphazard.
There's no method to our madness. We had a cancellation an hour ago and this guest was available.
All right. Well, let me lie to our listeners, okay? Because there is a narrative here, because you and I, as we do every year before, in early August, we rank all 32 teams 1 to 32. And today we are starting with the team with whom there is the biggest disparity where you love them and I hate them.
Wow.
And tomorrow we're going to go with the second biggest disparity where you love them and I hate them. So let's talk about, before we bring in our guest on for a second, I've, you know, famously overrated the Bengals every year and been disappointed. I finally learned my lesson. So this year, having learned that lesson, I have them all the way down at number 25. But you have them at 16.
Yeah, I think that sounds right. They're like the most average team in the NFL. I think 16 is a perfect rating for them.
Okay. All right. Well, let's bring our guest on, and we'll hear if what he has to think about being called average, which as a compliment, apparently, because that's better than what I've said.
He's not average. He's batting 1,000, this guest.
He's bad. Yeah. This is, I think, the fourth year he's been here. He also came on 1 year, I think, to preview the Bengals-Steelers playoff game, which ended well for him. Zach Sosna. Zach, welcome back to 32 Fans.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So tell us, what's the initial vibe in Cincinnati? You know, because again, it seems like it's hard to get excited. You know, you got the same coach every year. You have the same quarterback every year. You know, there hasn't been any sort of big story reason to why this year is going to be different. So what's the narrative locally?
The local narrative is nothing's going to be different. But what the Bengals are pitching is that we got a pretty new coaching staff this year. So like, back in 2012, when we had our last major overhaul, that's when we brought in Andy, that's when we brought in AJ. It was like a player overhaul. So this is, they're pitching it as like the same thing, just coaches.
You know what's weird about this, Chester? There's a lot of coaches, like, if, for instance, the Jets, Todd Bowles was considered kind of a lame duck. If you have a lame duck coach, it's extremely hard to attract really good offensive and defensive coordinators and even position coaches. Because why would you want to move your whole family and then basically you know there's a 70% chance you're getting fired after the year or maybe during the year? But I think because Marvin Lewis has sort of survived about 11 lame duck years in a row, that he was able to attract like competent coordinators this year. You know, the offensive coordinator was on the team last year, but he didn't start the year as offensive coordinator. But the defensive coordinator is like a legitimate, you know, any team would hire him for at least, you know, position coach level in Terrell Austin. To me, that makes me think that like the agents and people think that Marvin Lewis is safe. But we're going to go a little segmented this year and try and be organized. So let's start off with segment number one, coach confidence rating. Zach, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your confidence rating in your team's head coach?
Is 10 confident and 1 not confident at all?
Yeah, 10 is like Bill Belichick and 1 is Rich Coach.
Is Marvin Lewis?
oh, boy.
I go with the 2.
Okay, this, by the way, if Marvin Lewis, maybe for future podcasts, this could be like the Marvin Lewis confidence scale. It's like 1 is Marvin Lewis, 10 is Belichick. Or is that like, is he not bad enough, Chester, for him to?
No, he's not nearly bad.
He's not bad.
When we do our quarterback rank, our coach rankings, he's, you know, he's never going to be in the bottom 5.
No, he's a competent NFL coach. He just
is he replacement more the same. Level? Is he like the definition of replacement level as a coach? Maybe.
Well, but there's also like the sort of the arc of a coach's, you know, career in one place, and he's overstayed that arc. So even if he was slightly above replacement level, it's just, you know, you need a change at a certain point.
Right. On Pro Football Reference, it would be like coach, you know, players just like him for a player. like coaches just like him, there it would just be like not available. Like there's no one in the history of sports basically who's had the same sort of like mediocrity, lack of success, but you know, is essentially you know, has lifetime job security.
I mean, if you look at all tenured coaches in the NFL, they've all won Super Bowls except for Marvin.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so Zach, so you don't love your head coach. Let's turn to your offensive coordinator. If I may read a quote from you from one anonymous scout, Lazor's play calling strategy would be unimpressive for a large high school program.
Wow. Talking about Bill
so Lazor. So last year, Marvin Lewis fired Ken Zampezi 2 weeks into the season, replaced him with Bill Lazor, the quarterback's coach. Lazor was basically Zampezi 2.0. This is actually incredible. From 2016 and the first 2 weeks of 2017 versus the rest of 2017, so in other words, comparing the Zampezi era to the Lazor era, they had the exact same identical ratio of passing and running, including down by down, first, second, and third down. They had almost the exact identical ratio of 11 personnel versus 12 personnel. So it didn't seem like there was a big change between Zampezi and Lazor. So what's your confidence ranking in your offensive coordinator from 1 to 10?
I'll give him a 5 because, you know, last year he was going with Zampezi's offense, and so at least now he has a full offseason to design his own offense. And, you know, he did just as good with the offense that he was given, so let's see what he can do with his own version of it. So that's the only reason it's not lower, I guess.
Okay.
All right, so we did quarterback rankings last week, Zach, and yes. I believe we had Andy Dalton ranked 23rd overall. Is that correct, Chester? Somewhere in the low 20s.
Something like that. Yeah, he's been in a gradual decline. You know, he had that MVP caliber season in 2015, and then he was, you know, in the teens last year, or coming into last year. He was, you know, he was above average in 2016. Last year, he probably had the worst season of his career. I mean, by Chester quarterback ranking, he did, even worse than his rookie season.
Yeah, I read an interview where he was, like, really broken up about his low QBR score.
Yeah, it's a big problem, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, we all know there's no such thing as a good redhead quarterback. So what's your opinion on Andy Dalton right now? Is he better than the 23rd best quarterback? Are you also falling in confidence with him as he slips little by little every year?
No, I haven't lost confidence in Andy. He took a, you know, a big jump, you know, in 2015, and I think he still has that in him. The big difference between then and now is last year our offensive line and the year before was atrocious. And now hopefully with some of our new pieces that he'll have a little bit extra time. And with that extra time, you know, I have more confidence in him. So because we've improved our offensive line, which has been our big offseason, you know, goal and task, that, you know, I have a little bit more confidence in him. And so I'd like to see what he does. And hopefully Eifert stays healthy for at least part of the season. And having Eifert and a healthy offensive line will do wonders for how good he is.
Well, why? Let's move to the offense. Why do you think? Why do you think the offensive line is better?
Well, we traded for Cordy Glenn, so it's a significant improvement over Cedric Oboye. He had a left tackle, and then we drafted Billy Price in the first round, who seemed to be of the guys in the first round was the most NFL ready. He is struggling a little bit under center in training camp, but I think he can figure
that
out.
Great. I'm going to tell you right now, Zach, that's not great for you know. And Pro Football Focus didn't like him. They have your O-line ranked as the 26th best O-line, which they consider an improvement basically just because Cordy Glenn obviously is an improvement at left tackle. And they don't like Billy Price, but I think they're assuming he's something. But also the right side of the line with Jake Fisher or whoever gets that job in Trey Hopkins, they really don't like that either.
Yeah, and you know what? Jake Fisher was actually doing a pretty decent job right before he got hurt. So, you know, he's so young, I still think he's got potential. And yeah, our biggest concern on offensive line is our right guard. But we have like three guys who seem to be competing for that same spot. And Trey, Alex Redmond, and Christian Westerman. And they're all, most of those guys were draft picks that we can hopefully, well, actually some of those guys are draft picks. But the big difference is also we have a new offensive line coach, Frank Pollock. He was the Cowboys offensive line coach. So hopefully, you know, he can bring in you know, some change, and he did pretty well down there in Dallas.
Let's talk about the skill position guys for a second. So obviously, you know, John Ross, top 10 pick last year, high hopes for him, and he basically did not play at all as a rookie. And I mean, you know, look, I'm a Vikings fan, so I've had bad experience with first round receivers, Laquan Treadwell and Cordell Patterson, but is John Ross a complete bust? Like, how do we explain how he was so worthless as a rookie?
He was hurt his whole rookie year. He was out pretty much the entire season. He played 5 snaps the entire year. So it's hard to judge him based off of that.
Chester clearly did not like those 5 snaps because he just called him a bust.
He did fumble on one of the 5
I don't know.
He was hurt.
I just knew, I knew he didn't play. And look, I didn't know why he didn't play. Okay, so he was hurt. Fine.
He was hurt.
That's a valid excuse.
So we'll see.
Well, it's funny that you're so used to bad first-round receiver
picks. Yeah, Treadwell just
like
can't get on the field.
That you're
yeah.
like, oh, he must not have gotten on the field. You forgot that he got injured and he did literally
yeah.
play.
I mean, here's the issue. Like, the drop-off after A.J. Green has been so massive. And, like, the consequence is he gets tons of coverage. He doesn't perform as he should. 33 receivers in the NFL last year had 100-plus targets. The passer rating for passes thrown to A.J. Green was 75, which was 31 out of 33.
Mm. I'm bringing stats
and it's here. And I don't think it's that A.J. Green sucks. It's just that, you know, when there's nobody else. I mean, the other problem, again, is Lazor really doesn't move him around and take him advantage of matchups. He lined up in the slot just 14% last year, which, again, was one of the lowest for a receiver with 100-plus targets. So they don't move A.J. Green around. They don't have anybody on the other side to draw coverage. And then they wonder why, you know, passing to him is not successful.
And Green just turned 30 last week. Like, he's also, you know, not getting younger. But you're right. They really need.
Well, but he's been a Pro Bowler every year. I mean, I you know, he might not be a top 5 talent, but he's definitely a top 10, top 15 talent.
Sure. But, you know, we would have put him pretty near Dez Bryant 2 years ago. They're the exact same age. Dez Bryant's out of the league. You know, A.J. Green.
Well, he's massively outperformed Dez Bryant the last 2 years.
We might be expecting too much from A.J. Green at this point.
I mean, I think having Eifert back, assuming he, you know, he's healthy, he's got cleared, that'll be huge. That is a second target. That is, you know, elite. When Eifert's healthy, he's a top tight end, not the top, but a top. And
how many catches? Does
I mean, that's a big if. Like, Eifert's played how many? Like, has he ever played a full season?
Played less than half of his games since he's been a pro. But we'll see how that goes. And then John Ross, you know, Tyler Boyd showed he's competent. So, you know, now that LaFell's gone, it'll leave space open for other guys to have their opportunities to show up. And then I think we have a legit running back now in Joe Mixon. So I think that'll help everything because you'll have to account for him in the passing and the running game.
Okay, let's talk about the running backs for a second. So Mixon was another disappointment as a rookie. Jeremy Hill's gone now, of course. Gio Bernard has probably gone from like exciting young option to aging retread.
I wouldn't go there yet. I think he's still got it. I still think he's got it in him.
Okay. Well, Mixon.
Oh,
you know,
Gio Bernard is 26. He's 9 years younger than you, and you just called him an.
Look, Akiva drafted Mixon in every league last year because he supports his,
How
domestic.
How many times are we going to make the same jokes to each other?
You make the same jokes about me. I know. I have to say it before you say it about me. That's like the
but
challenge.
But here's
like,
the thing. I'm on to a new thing. I feel like this year we got to get new material. This year, I'm not that hacky. I am the hacky.
Okay, let Zach defend his cadre of bad running backs, both on and off the field.
Well, let's talk about on the field. I think Mixon is really talented. I don't think last year will show that. We had, like I said, it all comes back to our offensive line. It's been improved, and he has talent. So if you give him any space, you know, I think he'll do well. I think you'll see 40 Glenn. This will be huge for him there because Cedric Oboye, he couldn't block anybody. And, you know, Billy Price, at least, you know, he can block up the middle. And so it would just free up a lot of space for him to run. And I think he'll do great. And, yeah, Gio is a great out-of-the-backfield guy. He's a difference maker. He can make great plays. He just can't play, you know, 30, 40 downs a game. But when he's in, he'll be effective. And I am a big fan of the guy we drafted in Mark Walton. So I think he can come in and be exciting and make some big plays. So I think our running backs are fun. I think they'll do well. As long as they have some space to work with. So I think our offense in general just stems back to our offensive line.
I think Mixon's going to be a top 10 running back this year in fantasy. That's my hot take. He's not being picked too far out of the top 10, but I like some of the guys.
Yeah, that's
being
that's. Oh, wow. That is, to me, that's a crazy hot take.
You think that's a crazy hot take?
Yeah.
I like him more than Freeman.
I mean, this offensive line, notwithstanding Zach's comments, you know, it might be improved from, you know, being bottom 5, but there's no evidence it's going to be a good offensive line.
Mm-hmm. I just think he's going to get a lot of carries.
Because Jeremy Hill left? I mean, they still have Bernard. I mean,
Jeremy Hill played like 3 games last year. He barely played last year.
Hill wasn't a factor.
Yeah. All right. So
I also think Bernard's not exciting anymore. Yeah.
Okay. So here's the bad news for your defense, Zach. Last year, the Cincinnati Bengals defense faced the easiest pass offense slate in the NFL. So your defensive struggles were against literally the worst offenses in the league. Your wins last year came against DeShone Kizer twice, Jacoby Brissett by 1 point, Brock Osweiler by 3 points, and Joe Flacco in that miracle comeback that made Andy Dalton a hero in Buffalo.
It's a great game. Yeah. You know, I don't think our defense was the problem last year. I think it was all of our offense, and our defense was on the field, you know, too much. They spent a lot of time on the field. We developed a little bit of a pass rush last year, you know, with Carl Lawson. So he was a rookie. So let's see what he can do in a second season. And then we've always had Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins. So I think we'll have, you know, three legit pass rushers, which I don't know if every team can say that. Our linebacker core, I think, got a lot more stable when we picked up Preston Brown. You know, he's better than anything else we've had next to Burfict. So that could be huge. I mean, I think our defense will struggle until Burfict gets back from another suspension. And I think the big difference...
I like this defense, by the way. I think it's... First of all, William Jackson, you haven't mentioned yet.
Yeah, wait, I was getting there next.
He's gonna get some all-pro buzz this year. People don't really know about him. He's got a boring name, so he doesn't really stand out. But William Jackson III is going to get buzzed. But I think everybody, Aloka, Williams, Darkest Denard, like the nickelback. I don't like Drake or Patrick, and he's kind of short, right?
Short isn't his problem. He's kind of slow.
I like the whole defense. Atkins is a monster, and he really makes it easier. They have, like, competent outside linebackers and pass rushers that can actually get to the quarterback when you know, Atkins is – drawing two and three men in the middle. I like these events, which is why, Chester, I have them as the 16th best team, because to me, like, they're literally, like, slightly above or slightly below average at every single position in the NFL.
And I really think William Jackson, my hot take is he's going to be a Pro Bowler this year. He's what he showed in the second half of last year when we actually played him was pretty amazing. He shut down Antonio Brown twice, and I don't know if anybody else can say they did that. And the last 5 years combined.
What was the outcome of those two games against Pittsburgh?
I know, but he can only cover one guy at a time. We know we can.
Unfortunately, the problem is Pittsburgh has a lot of weapons.
Yeah, but their number one, you know, one of their top two weapons was, you know, shut down by one guy. So
it's not Jackson's fault that Pittsburgh is good and that his team isn't.
Yeah, so I was just talking more specific to William Jackson. So I really think that he is a legit guy. You know, he did really well in Houston, so there's a reason we took him, and he showed that, you know, he can keep up with elite talent in the NFL. I think our weaknesses right now are at safety. I'm not the biggest George Iloka and Sean Williams fan, so it'll be interesting to see what Terrell does with our safeties. I like Jesse Bates, who we drafted in the second round. I think he's a playmaker. I think our defense really struggled last year with turnovers, so that's like Boston's, like, what he's known for is getting turnovers. So I'm excited to see what that kind of does for our defense and what that translates into. So I think if we solve that problem, get some more turnovers, then I think that you won't see such a poor defense. The offense will be on the field more, and our guys will have fresher legs, and you'll be able to see them shine.
Let's do a new segment, Chester, called Who Are Your Five Best Players? I'm still working on the name. Do we have a better name for this segment? Who are your team's five best players? That's a good name. That ring right off the tongue. So, Zach, I have to ask you a question. Who are your team's five best players?
I would go with A.J. Green, Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap, Vontaze Burfict.
Okay.
And did I say Eifert? I'd probably go with Eifert or William Jackson.
Okay.
I'll go with Eifert now, but by the end of the season, William Jackson will be on that list.
Yeah. You had three guys the Bengals had three guys in the Pro Football Focus Top 100. Geno was 20. William Jackson was actually all the way up at 44, and A.J. Green was at 96. My prediction will be that A.J. Green is not on that list for 2018.
Wow.
No way.
I disagree, but it's okay.
I'm selling high on A.J. He's also the most boring guy in the world to have in fantasy.
He has some pretty big games.
He's boring. Chester, you like having A.J. Green in fantasy?
I don't think I ever have had him.
You've never? There's certain guys. I mean, he's been in the league a long time. Like, in Albert Pujols' prime, I never had him once. There's certain guys you just never. Jeter I never had, probably because he was the only person who I would, like, actively not want on my team.
Yeah.
But do you have that with anybody, like, in football or in baseball or in any sport? Like, I hate this person so much. They're just numbers to me. I would 100% agree, but I feel like my hatred for Derek Jeter is like a little stronger. Plus, he was bad. He was always getting picked.
But again, no problem with Joe Mixon. Derek Jeter.
Wow, 10 homers and 8 steals. That's so exciting. Okay, you want to introduce weakest link segment?
I don't know what that is. So you introduce it.
It literally just asking him who's the weakest link on the team. Like, what are you worried about?
No, all right, you can do it. That's fine.
All right, we got another new segment, Zach, and this is going to rock the world. It's going to set the world on fire. Remember the old game show, Weakest Link?
I've heard of it.
You are the weakest link. Goodbye.
So I'm asking you, who is the weakest link on this team? Who makes you nervous? Who on this team that plays keeps you up at night?
Who on this team that plays keeps me up at night?
Keeps you up at night, yeah.
I would go with... Thinking about it, I'd probably go with Trey Hopkins, our right guard, or our safety, Sean William and George Iloka.
This segment might be one and done, because I feel like those people were correctly mentioned beforehand. Let us know if we should keep Weakest Link in or not for future podcast listeners.
Yeah, I can pick a new one. Our weakest link.
No, you know, your answer was good. It just occurs to me now that you're probably going to have mentioned it before that segment.
We discuss the offer.
There's one more. I got one more.
Yeah, give it to us. It should be Marvin Lewis. That should keep you up.
Marvin Lewis and Michael Johnson. I think he's not very competent right end. He's pretty good at when we put him on the inside for like obviously passing downs. But when he's in at right end, you can run right through him. He has no pass rush ability, and he's just kind of taking up space that maybe
he's
a younger
resilient
guy. Yeah, he's resilient. And we're paying him a lot of money, and it's all like none of his dead money. We can get it all back.
Yeah, he's a below average player trending towards being out of the league after this year. He won't be in the league next year. That's my prediction.
Yeah, but we're paying him like $4 million that we could just be giving to somebody else.
Okay, so. That's fair. I really like that weakest link segment. Now I'm into it. All right, but you know what my favorite segment is, Zach? You're a longtime guest and listener.
Oh, no.
You know
what
we're ready for?
Oh, no.
This is where I can guess.
Chester sent me an
email
saying we absolutely will not do the roster game anymore. People hate it. And first of all, that just inspires me to keep doing the roster game. Second of all, he's incorrect. People love it. People either love it or hate it, but they have opinions on that. Nobody has opinions on, like, when you talk about the defense. That's fun. So I'm going to ask you a guy, and you tell me everything you know about this human being, okay?
Okay.
What do you know, Zach Sosna, about Jared Murphy?
Jared Murphy, that he's not going to make the team?
Okay, that's a good thing to know. Where did you go to college?
I don't know. I believe, isn't he a wide receiver, though?
He's a wide receiver. I'm guessing Jared Murphy. I'm guessing he's white. He went to Miami of Ohio, so he's like probably the token like local connection. I don't know if he's white or not because his team on the Cincinnati Bengals website, they do not have a picture of him. Probably an inauspicious sign for him to make the team.
Yeah, I'm guessing he was just like a free agent that we brought in to be a body at camp. That's what I know about Jared Murphy.
All right. Watch him be the Super Bowl MVP this year.
I hope so. We could use one.
All right, Chester, what do we have left? What's our last segment of the day here?
I don't know. These are your segments.
I literally emailed them to you, moron. Why can't you check my emails?
What? We need a prediction,
assume. Yeah, that's
right?
Exact. It's called... okay. So what's the name for that segment, though?
Prediction time.
Prediction time. Zach, give us a prediction for the 2018, possibly 2019, Cincinnati Bengals. What is the record going to be at the end of the year?
I'm going to go with 10-6. And I think we make the wild card.
Yeah, and then who do you play in the wild card round?
Doesn't matter. We'll lose. We'll lose.
Okay. All right, Keith, what's your prediction for the Cincinnati Bengals? Are you making one?
Yeah, well, I have them at 16, so I have them going 8-8. They are going to be a league average team. I get why, if I'm saying that there's such a low upside team, which to me they're one of the lowest upside teams, I probably should have them in the 20s. But I also think that they just have a lot of good players still. And...
Yeah, listen, you sound like me circa 2015, 2016, 2017.
Why do you think we have such a low upside? I mean, we have an offense.
We've seen these guys 8 times already.
Because you only have one good skill position player. You have a bad offensive line. You have an aging quarterback who's gotten worse 3 years in a row. And you have an aging defense.
There's nothing that your team is great at. Like, they're above average at almost everything. You could argue Dalton's average, below average, above average. They have a slightly above average pass rush, slightly above average secondary. But they have Dalton, who's not great, behind a bad offensive line. So I don't see what would be like.
I think the best thing the Bengals have going for them, and is true about the whole AFC, which is there's like two good teams in the AFC.
Yeah, I agree.
Like any of these teams could go. I think when I did my, you know, I predicted every game a couple weeks ago. I had the Bengals going 8-8, which was pretty generous considering like where their over under is. But look, they could go 9-7, I guess. Or they could win a wild card. They could make a wild card because who?
We were 7-9 last year, and our offensive line is definitely better this year. And I don't.
Yeah, but again, you faced literally the easiest schedule of offenses right. in the league last year. Your defense is gonna look worse this year, not because it is worse, but because it's gonna face better offenses.
I don't necessarily think that we have that tough of a schedule this year either. Like I think we just had 2 years of easy schedule. I don't think the Colts are that good.
I mean, they do get the Ravens and the Colts twice. Though.
The Dolphins aren't good.
The Colts are gonna be better than last year. They have Andrew Luck. The Dolphins are gonna be better than last year. They don't have Jay Cutler. The Browns are gonna be better than last year. They don't have Deshaun Kaiser.
Right,
these teams might not be good, but they're gonna be less bad.
Which is really tough. Minus one team.
I don't think Denver's. I don't think
you play the AFC
Chargers.
You do get the AFC West is a good break because that's a division in definitely a down year.
So I think that we got lucky that we have another easier schedule. So I don't necessarily think our schedule is any more difficult or less difficult than
last
year.
The schedule is easy, but you know who also has an easy schedule? The teams that play the Bengals every week.
Thank you.
I made that joke 12 times every season, but I'm glad it's good.
I like it. It's pretty good.
Okay.
All right, Zach. I think we'll stop torturing here now.
Yeah, this was fun. I feel like you want to start with
I don't know if it was fun for him.
It was fun for him.
I always love talking about the Bengals.
Yeah. We will definitely not speak to Zach in January.
I hope we do.
Yeah.
Or maybe the 8-8 Bengals are the 6th seed.
No, Zach, I think what he's saying is even if they make the play.
Oh, yeah, no, we're finding a new Bengals fan. That's what I was saying.
Thank you. 4 years is a good run.
It's like college. You got to graduate. A lot of people go to college for 7 years.
All right, this was fun. Let us know what you think about the new segments. You know, maybe we should get like new hosts instead of us. Like, I don't know. What else do you think we should change? If you have any segment ideas, let us know. If you think we're wrong about the Bengals.
I think you're wrong about the Bengals.
About them. All right. Well, write in the comments, Zach, in the Join the 32 Fans Facebook group. Also, because this is our first podcast, Chester, last year we had a pretty interesting fantasy football league in the 32 Fans group where everyone drafted two teams. And then you got the players from those teams. And I thought it was fun, but I thought the idea of it was a little more fun than the practicality. Would you agree? You might disagree. We haven't spoken about this.
I mean, I liked it. I thought it was good. I have enough leagues. I don't need a league that requires constant work every week.
I agree. We're definitely not doing like a full-fledged fantasy league. But do you think we should put the fishing hook out there for someone to try and beat that idea for this year? Or are you cool?
Yeah, sure.
Re-upping it? I know. So that's what I'm saying.
Put the fishing hook out.
So now, because this is our first episode, can I pitch you an idea? Actually,
yeah.
How about this? Cliffhanger for the second episode. I'm going to pitch you the idea to start the second episode. Okay?
Okay.
That'll keep people coming back.
Okay. All right, Zach. Good luck to your Bengals this year. And we probably won't speak to you in January.
I look forward to speaking with you in January.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye.
summertime coming up for it.